So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Tuesday, live from the Skyline Studios, high above Wacker and Columbus Drive. This is Anna DeVlantis. Thanks for joining us. Just 1 week to go until Christmas Eve. And now, just what we needed, package wars. You've been listening to the Noon Business Hour. You've been listening to Steve Bertrand's News. You've heard all about how Amazon and FedEx have gotten into it. Amazon shutting them out just in time for the holiday. How about that? Third-party shippers on its site can no longer use FedEx. That's after Amazon and FedEx got into it a few months ago, and they weren't. Amazon no longer allows FedEx to do direct deliveries, anything originating from Amazon. It's pretty much, I just think the timing of this whole thing is so odd. Quality control and poor performance, kind of citing bad on-time deliveries that they weren't really performing. That's what Amazon says. But as Steve, you've been saying in the news, the small business owners not happy, not thrilled.
Happy about it. Customers aren't necessarily happy about it. But you know, Amazon, they advertise that you have to get the product within a set amount of days delivered, and they're saying that FedEx is having some difficulty living up to that. Now FedEx says that it's not going to have a very wide impact, that it's not as many people as get gifts as you might fear, and that they're working on it. But yeah, it's an embarrassment for them right ahead of the holiday.
Yeah, it sure seems like there's a little more to this. It just feels as if there's kind of a turf war going on, or some kind of territorial thing going on. It's no secret that Amazon wants to own its delivery business. We've seen them advertising for delivery people. We've seen them putting out the word. They already get this. They already control half of their deliveries.
So then they put out the word, 6 days, 7 days before Christmas, that FedEx might not get the gift to them, and that leaves a negative impression for next time.
Merry Christmas, right?
Well, like Steve said, they definitely want to build their own delivery network, but also, they've been criticized, Amazon has, for a long history of snuffing out competitors and growing so big and so large.
You hear that.
Who can compete with them?
You do hear that all the time from small business owners.
And
that it's hard.
Yeah, and it's pretty incredible how the power that Amazon has in terms of swinging other companies' stocks. Because when this was announced, FedEx stock went down. Of course, it recovered a bit. But then the same thing happened when they got into a fight with Roku as well before. Mm. So that just shows you the power that Amazon has.
So powerful. It is so true. It just seems odd. Again, the timing, 7 days. You got Christmas Eve is 7 days away. Christmas, 8 days. And everyone's trying to get their things delivered on time.
Just gave me a panic attack because I didn't even realize it was 7 days away. And now, oh my goodness.
I don't think this will end up delaying packages. I just think it's more of a messaging thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's not an Amazon interest to take an action that's going to get something ordered on Amazon there late, right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work for them.
Well, it's more on
they're just planting a seed.
Uh-huh.
It's more on these small businesses, as you point out now, to try to scramble to find a way to get the packages there on time. And it sounds like they're going to have to pay a little more as part of this.
That's what it looks like, yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's happening. And what I really want to get to, though, is this, guys. And this starts out as kind of an in-house thing, so bear with me here. But I've been working with producer Jasmine Cooper now for 2 weeks, right, Jazz?
That's correct.
Me too, and she's fabulous.
Isn't she? Well, we were assigned to this 1-to-3 shift, and we both moved from other places, so we're learning more about each other. G, you, me, and Jasmine all share an office together now, very cozy, and we're often on the phone together. We're often in the same room together, right? And learning how each other works a little more. Well, what I learned is that Jasmine does not like her grandmother. Stop before you fill it in, because this is what has happened over the last 2 weeks. Jasmine picks up the phone and she says, "Grandma, stop calling me."
Yeah.
And then you'll say, "Grandma, I do not have time for you. Leave me alone."
Yeah.
And then you'll say, "Grandma, you cannot call me at work." And then you'll hang up. And then finally, I developed the nerve yesterday to say, hey, you know, Jasmine, is there a little issue there with grandma? Is things okay there? What's going on? I was kind of worried. I was worried about the whole relationship. And what did you tell me, Jasmine?
It's those pesky robocalls. I hate them.
Oh, so it's not your real grandma.
That's how she deals with it.
I just deal with it that way.
I'm hearing this for the first time. And so that's why I thought, well, she is a really sweet. I wanted to qualify this whole conversation by saying Jasmine is such a sweet person.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so that's why it shocked me so much.
No.
But why do you do that, Jasmine?
So I do that, and I also do like weird things like, oh, grandma, like I'm at the doctor and I can't stop itching and like weird stuff that you'll be like, okay, I'm going to hang up now. And it always results in the hang up.
Well, my question is, why do you answer the call to begin with? Because if I don't recognize the number, I tend to just not answer the call.
So I'm on that do not block national registry thing, but it doesn't matter. They still call. And so I never know.
And they
know.
Call the office.
Right. So I never know when it's actually happening.
You mean the list that actually gives your number out to everyone to call.
Well, but you're also a producer and you're handling calls from absolutely everybody.
So I have to pick it up. You never know who it is.
I just thought, what a great way to get rid of scam callers, because sometimes I'll engage them. I'll get frustrated. If I know it's a scam, I'll want to ask them questions. I'll say, now, what organization are you calling from?
This is your investigative reporter side
coming out. I got to stop it. I got to develop this relation, the grandma thing. I got to do that. And I was just wondering if others have ideas about how you handle it. How do you handle, we all get these calls. It is so hard to shake them. 312-981-7200. Do you have a way, like Jasmine's, it kind of is, I guess you make it fun. There's something about it that just feels better to you when you do it that way, Jasmine.
Yeah, it just makes it lighter of my day, because even like I'm super busy and this happens, I'll be like, oh my God, I got to burp. Hold on. All right, hello?
Oh,
who is this? Grandma, stop calling.
But is it even a person on the other end that gets to hear this?
Yes, because they'll be like, hello, I am with. I'm like, oh, Grandma, stop. I have to go. Like, I got to go to the bathroom. Bye.
This is some good improv.
It really is. And it just feels like, you know, she shakes it off. I watch her do it. She's like, all right, whatever. And she's forgotten about it. And I feel like sometimes it can be sort of stressful if they ask you questions and by accident you start answering them. And then you feel like, oh, I'm falling into a trap here. Or maybe I told them something I shouldn't have told them.
Well, I have to give my mother a talking to, because my mother is one of the sweetest and most naive ladies. And so sometimes she'll get the calls where they say, oh, we're the IRS or we're this, and she thinks that it's actually the people. And I say, Mom, they never ever call. It's always by letter. And she's even gotten calls where they'll say that they're me, like, I'm your daughter, this is G. And so she'll get caught off guard. So
it happens more often than you think, and people do give that information out. It's always good. You can always say, what company do you represent? Can I call you back? And you can actually Google the actual number. So if they say they're from Chase Bank, you can find your bank branch and you can call back and work it backwards, you know, because sometimes it does sound legit, sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
But, you know, you're right. You get those people who say, you haven't made your last car payment, and if you don't make it immediately, we're going to do X. Mm-hmm. And it's always this urgent appeal. This you have to respond so quickly or else kind of scenario.
But that is veteran investigative reporter Anna DeVellantes' reaction. My mother's reaction would be,
what does she do?
Hi, hello. Aww. Yeah, thanks for calling me.
See, that's the problem. And then maybe she gives out the sensitive information that she shouldn't give. Another person says, this is what I do. I start out with talking about my medical ailments. I just start detailing them and going into depth about what's going on with my rashes and my, you know, my coughing or whatever. And usually they hang up. I mean, sometimes people, I don't know, people have, they have fun with this. This is what they do. Or sometimes I've also heard people will say, oh, you said your name is Joe? Joe? Oh, wait a minute. Are you that Joe?
Oh,
I know you. And like pretend to know them or whatever and just have fun with it. I guess I either hang up or I ask a few more questions if it sounds like a legit scam that I want to report. Because then I do
of
go and
call.
Of course I do. I know. Of course, then I'll call Steve Burness of the Better Business Bureau. I'll say, do you know about this? And I have done that to let him know. And he'll say, we have gotten hundreds of calls about this IRS scam or whatever the call originator pretends to be.
Maybe you should just start singing your favorite song that you sing in the shower.
Oh gosh, I'm a terrible singer.
At the top
singer.
Of your lungs.
I'm
Even
an awful
better
singer.
If you're a terrible singer.
If you have a strategy, something you do, 312-981-7200. Let us know. More here on WGN Radio as we also talk about the cheapest days to fly in 2020. Now, if you plan ahead, if you're one of those people thinking about taking a trip in 2020, there are ways to save big money if you know what to do, if you know the tricks. We'll talk about that and more as we continue here. Stay with us. All right, back here in the Skyline Studios, we've been talking about how do you deal with the scam callers, the people call you and they're asking for your money, trying to get your bank account information, stuff like that. We have Jerry. Jerry says she has a funny solution. Jerry, what do you got? What's going on?
Well, I don't know if it's funny, but it seems to be working. Oftentimes they are at a phone bank where they're making several calls at the same time.
Mm-hmm. You can hear them in the background.
Well, yeah, and so what I've learned is if I wait and don't pick up the phone until the third ring, mm-hmm. by then they've usually gotten someone else, and 9 out of 10 times they aren't there, and I can literally hang up within a couple of seconds. So they've picked up someone else's call, like somebody else has picked up early, and so they're engaging with them. Does that make sense?
It does. But so it's the third ring is the secret. You wait for
the third ring.
And
yeah,
then you say
so
hello,
funny.
And they're already on the phone with somebody else.
Exactly. And then I wait like a beat or two, and then I can hang up without feeling like I'm being a bad person and hanging up on a person. You know what I mean?
I feel that way, too. Why? When you know they're scamming you.
I know. Well, we don't know if they're scamming us yet because we don't know it to be, you know, Citibank literally calling to offer you some new credit card. But either way, I'm like my husband said, if it's somebody who really wants you, they're going to call back.
Because that was my next question. How do you know it isn't seriously somebody who needs to get a hold of you from the bank or anywhere, really?
Well, because they would engage a lot quicker. I'm going, you know, hello, hang up.
I love it.
You know what I mean? Like, I wait a couple of pauses, and then, all right, if they haven't engaged me back, like, hey, you know, blah, 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 then I know that it's just an automated call of some sort, whether it's a scammer or just somebody offering me something that I'm probably not going to want anyway. Then I don't feel bad hanging up. But, yeah, that third ring seems to be if they're dialing five numbers at once, you
somebody
know,
else
of the
picks
other people
up.
Has picked up. Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry. The third ring strategy. Let's talk to Paxton. Paxton, you have a way you deal with these calls. What do you do?
Yes, hi. I explained this to Nick DiGilio once at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
He was having the same problem. And what you need to do is to engage to make them more interested in what's going on your end of the line. And one thing that almost always works is that you've got a cat up in a tree, and you have to get him down. And the fire department is out there, and then you come back and you give reports on how the cat is doing. And 90% of the time, they stay on the line.
You keep them on the phone? Paxton, how long do you keep them on the phone for?
Well, you have to play it. I've gone as much as 15 minutes. And then at the very end, you know, you've saved the cat, and then you do a couple of meows.
Oh.
And then they're happy.
I want to hear your meow. How do you meow?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Darn it. Almost got him. Paxton, great call. Thank you so much. You just have fun with it so you don't get stressed about it. I get it. That's a perfect way to do it. We've got people telling us there are ways you can do it on both an iPhone and Android. You go to settings, silencing unknown callers. So if a number is unknown, it goes straight to your voicemail book, meaning if it's not in your address book, it goes straight to voicemail. So you could Google that if you want. I always feel like there are a lot of numbers that do call me that I don't know, and mm-hmm. I do want to pick up. So it's sort of 50-50. One more call, and then we've got to move on to something else. Barbara, you have a strategy. How do you deal with this stuff?
Well, if it doesn't have a special ringtone and there's no caller ID, I don't answer it, and it goes to my voicemail. I don't understand. It's my personal phone, so, I mean, I understand if it's a business phone, you can't do that. But I don't understand why people answer with their personal phones if they, A, don't recognize the phone number, or B, it doesn't have caller ID.
Do you ever find, and I find this a lot, it's called spoofing, where they mimic part of your phone number, so like 312, call it 591, and then they have four different numbers. So I'm like, oh gosh, that sounds kind of familiar, and even if it doesn't pop up a name, I answer it, but you don't even answer those calls.
I've had them spoof my own phone number.
Got it.
Which is really weird to see a call come in and see it's my phone number.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no. I don't answer them. I have special ringtones for family, friends, medical, financial, and if it doesn't come up with one of my special ringtones and there's no caller ID identifying who's calling, I just let it go to voicemail. And yeah, they never leave a message, so I presume that it's some kind of a spoof.
Right, because if they were legit, they would leave a voicemail. So then you rule them out. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Thank you, Barbara.
Have a good day.
You too. We've got 815. I get student loan scam calls, and I'm 64 years old. How about that?
That's going to be how old I am when I pay mine off. So
yeah, so maybe you'll still be getting them, too. They won't be scams, and you'll need to address those. Geez, 630, I answer the robocalls in a different language.
Pete Holmes has a great segment on this, even though it ends up being a real call. But he says he starts by answering, hello!
See, I have more fun with these. I'm going to take this route now. I used to be like all, you know, hey, tell me who you are. Now I'm like, all right, I got to come up with a new thing. Maybe the third call is my thing. I'm not sure. But we'll figure it out. Thank you. Keep the text call coming. We're going to continue to talk about this as we shift gears just a little bit. Talk about the cheapest days to fly in 2020. FareCompare.com has some tips that can save you money. There are some tricks to this. There are some ways if you do want to plan ahead. And Anne McDermott will join us right after in just a moment. Oh, is she on the phone now? We got her. Hey, Anne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So this is interesting because a lot of us are traveling over the holidays. Are there any tips right now? I guess most people probably have their tickets, but if you don't for some reason, is there anything to know about right now other than it's just going to be really crazy at most airports?
Well, holiday periods are going to be expensive. There's no getting around that. Flexibility, however, being flexible can make things cheaper. That's whether it's the most expensive time to fly or a very cheap time to fly. And being flexible means flying on cheaper days. Typically, domestically, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday are cheap days. Fridays and Sundays, the days we like to fly, those are expensive. So if you can, work that into any itinerary. Another way to save on holidays is to fly on the holiday itself. That means Thanksgiving Day, try to fly Thanksgiving morning or Christmas morning or, you know, New Year's Day. Fly early enough and you're not going to miss anything. But one thing I do want to mention to everybody is that there is a big winter deal zone coming up.
Okay.
For domestic flights, January 7 to the end of February is a very cheap time to fly. January 7th, end of February, there is one little window in there where it's expensive. That's February 14th to 17th, and that's due to the double whammy of Valentine's Day and President's Day weekend. For European flights, those previous dates were for domestic. For European flights, January 22 to March 25th is a very cheap time to go.
That's when you can get the best deals. So looking ahead, do you need to book now for that, or can you wait until January to book your March trip or your February trip to Europe?
Yeah, you could book a Europe trip right now. In fact, I was just doing a little sleuthing, and I saw out of Chicago, London, at the end of May, early June, it was under $390.
Whoa.
Major airline, and I mean, now that's a deal.
That's a great deal.
Yes, and it's available now. Usually it wouldn't, 5 months is the top for booking Europe ahead of time, but, you know, they're out there. A lot of sites, including ours, Fair Compare, we have a little tool on our site that helps you find the best deal within, like, say, a month or a season. It's just an easy way to find what are the cheapest dates to fly, but other sites have similar tools, too. Use those things and always compare fares because that's the only way to be sure you're getting the very cheapest deal.
The other thing we've just learned is it used to be several years ago, Tuesday was the best day to go online and start shopping around for tickets. And that has shifted now to Sunday is what
I've been reading about, because business travelers and their business, the people who book travel for businesses, don't have much activity on the weekends as much. So those are the days when you may find more discounted kind of holiday traveler type of deals. So something else to be aware of.
Here's how we explain why we like Tuesday. Tuesday is still the day when airlines release their airfare sales. You'll see sales coming out from JetBlue, often Frontier, Spirit, Southwest does it on Tuesday. And the other airlines, even if they're not having a sale, they routes that they match exactly, they will drop their prices so that they can match, so that they aren't left behind on the search. You know, they won't be on page 32 and all the cheap fares are on the first page. So we still like Tuesday.
Okay.
But a lot of it has to do with, you know, it's far more when you fly during the year. Fall is cheap, winter is cheap, summer is expensive, you know, and there's no getting around that. But you can still find deals if you are willing to be flexible, like fly at times nobody wants to fly, like at dawn, or, you know, fly, have a Tuesday through a Wednesday flight, you know, a week apart.
Right, if it works for you.
Most people would want to do the, you know, like Friday or Saturday, and then for the whole, you know, weekend to weekend. But if you fly when it's not popular, the airlines purposely reduce their prices to get people into their planes.
Yeah.
They don't want to fly empty planes.
Makes sense. Ann McDermott, faircompare.com. Thank you for those tips. We appreciate you checking in with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
If it's an unknown number, here back to our other conversation, 815, I answer Winnebago County Morgue. This is Kelly. And they immediately hang up. This is so great. A lot of people just don't answer unless they recognize the caller. And I guess that's the easy way out of it.
I never answer, so I'm impressed with people's, you know, creativity and the energy.
Moxie.
Yeah,
right.
The energy that they're expelling for this.
More to come here on WGN Radio. Back here live in the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantis. We were talking about how to get rid of the robocalls or the scam callers or just the calls you don't recognize. 815, I answer all spam calls. Usually I will waste as much of their time as possible by asking them very weird questions. 20 minutes is my record. All right, so that's what they do.
I don't know who the winner is there.
I don't know either, but maybe people just kind of have fun with it. I don't know. Yeah, it sounds like it. Definitely don't want to get frustrated by it. And you definitely don't want to give them any information, right? All the stuff they're asking for. So there you go. We have a special guest here in studio right now. He's the entrepreneur behind the hugely successful Chicago tech company, Cameo. You may have heard of it. It's a great place to go. Two reasons we're featuring you, Stephen Galanis, because you're an incredible success story. Yes, that's true. And secondly, because I think that what you offer is a great personal last-minute Christmas gift idea or holiday gift of any sort, right?
We sell over half of our whole year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So this is definitely the time to try Cameo if you haven't yet.
All right. So I want to talk about the business part of it, and then we're going to move into the fun part of the celebrity shout-out world that is really cool. And if people are not familiar with it, it's cameo.com. But you started out 2 years ago. What were you doing, Stephen Galanis?
Well, it's been 3 years.
Always have been 3 years.
A lot of gray
Let's
hairs
go
coming
back.
In.
Yeah, you got a few gray hairs, and you're a young guy. So this is what happens when you start a business. 3 years ago, Stephen Galanis, what were you doing?
I was working at LinkedIn 3 years ago. My grandmother ended up passing away, and after her funeral, my now co-founder Martin was telling me about a problem he was having as an NFL agent who was repping not the superstar of the team. So imagine like the 15th best Bears defender, not Khalil Mack or not Mitch Trubisky, and how impossible it was for him to get any type of endorsement deal for those type of players. That said, when people would see these players sitting at Gibson's or sitting at a restaurant, everybody would come up and want to meet the Bear or meet the Blackhawks or take a picture with the Chicago Cup. And we had the idea that selfies are the new autograph. And we really felt like if the selfie was the new autograph, what would it What would it look like if we removed time and space and the randomness of walking into a restaurant when somebody was there and having the courage to go up to them and actually like getting them to say yes? And that's kind of how we had the idea for Cameo.
Okay, so you've now grown valuation. You don't have to confirm this, but the business wires say $300 million is the valuation on your company. And $50 million of Series B investments over the summertime, basically. That is huge. You ever think that idea was going to turn into this?
I had very high conviction that we were building a product that had insatiable customer demand. The much bigger question was, could we get talent to do this at scale? And could this be something where on the supply side, so all the talent and the celebrities, we were able to build a product that was so fun that they would do this for free, but they got paid.
So let me just explain what we have help explain with you what a Cameo is. We have one here. It's former Bear legend Mike Singletary. Let's listen into this. Is one that somebody ordered for a celebrity shout out for someone they love.
Uncle Rich, I'm told there's no greater fan of the 85 Bears than you. You are a great uncle. And these guys today, they're playing pretty well. You got to love Khalil Mack. But just want to say you're a great guy, great uncle, and you're a great uncle to David. Thank you very much for all that you've done for the Bears. Keep rooting. I think they may get there. God bless. Have a great Christmas.
So basically you get to put in whoever your relative is, and you can what? You give them a few things that you'd like them to say? How does this work?
Well, first off, that must have been last year.
That was last year. Hey, you're doing great. Couple of clues there, huh?
But at least, hey, at least we're out of our misery now, so we know that we're not making the playoffs.
No. But they're always hot. We love our Bears.
Nobody's a bigger Bears fan than I am. We have so many of the players, current players on the team right now, which is really exciting. The way it works, anybody out there listening, you'd go to cameo.com, our website. You can browse through 20,000 different athletes, actors, celebrities. There's a robot on Cameo now. There's a pig. You can book the Grinch.
Back up. Robot? What does the robot do?
Yeah, we got our first non-living thing on Cameo. So I think it's the MIT Artificial Intelligence Lab has like put their robot on Cameo so you can book the robot and the robot will talk. So it's really amazing. And basically you get 250 characters, so about the length of a tweet, and you can get the talent to say anything you want to whoever you want. So it's almost like the new form of a singing telegram, I think is a really good way to think about it. Except the thing that's so fun about this as a gift, by selecting the right person, you're really showing the recipient how well you know them. So it's not just about having the biggest person. It's really about, like, who's that random character from the show, or who's that lead singer of a band that, like, was their favorite band 10 years ago. That's really what makes Cameo so special.
You've got YouTube stars, and I barely recognize any of the YouTube stars, but the kids do. They know these people. The reality stars are on there. You've got real housewives like Bethany Frankel, Lisa Vanderpump, Brandy Glanville. Chicago actor Jim O'Hare is on it. Denise Richards, originally from this area, of course. You've got sports stars like Dick Butkus, Brian Urlacher. He's a little pricey. He's $540, but Lance Briggs is $55. Go figure. Well, number 55.
They both in 540 was 54.
Right. So they, but he added a zero.
So a lot of the talent will, especially our athletes, will their numbers are so tied to their identity that they'll try to integrate that into the price.
And you can, so Ozzie Guillen, Jeremy Roenick, Dennis Rodman is on your site as well. $300 for him. Otis Wilson, $50. That is a deal, I think. A lot of people would like to hear from Otis Wilson. Then you've got NSYNCers. George Hamilton, Morgan Fairchild, some of that type of thing. Jamie Lynn Sigler, I love her. Aaron Andrews and Brooke Burke are on your site. How why do they want to be on the site? What's the celebrity lure? How do you get them?
The number one reason celebrities will join our site is because they're really looking for that one-to-one opportunity to connect with their fans. In the world of social media where there's, you know, they might have so many followers on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, they might be more famous now than they've ever been because of social media, but it actually makes it harder than ever to have that one-to-one relationship with their fans. So I think really what they're trying to do with Cameo is to give their fans a very personalized glimpse into their life and to really create in a small amount of time a moment that their biggest fans will cherish forever.
And it isn't. We have another one here. This is some of them. You'd be surprised. You think Mike Singletary would be awesome and Brian Urlacher, wow. I mean, who wouldn't be wowed by that? But then you have some stars like from the past who really bring it, and it makes it so incredible. We have one here from Debbie Gibson. Remember her? Started out singing in the malls, and then she became this big star, and she sings beautifully.
Hi, Dawn and Pete. Debbie Gibson here. Wanted to say Merry Christmas and love you both from David, Anna, and Gabriella, who want to thank you for helping to take care of their house. You guys are the best. You sound like the best. I think I need to know you. They wish you a Merry Christmas, as do I, and an amazing, amazing rockin' New Year. I, for one, am excited for 2019. How about a little Christmas carol to get you guys in the spirit? It's almost here. It's almost here. I have a room full of gifts to wrap, and got a pack for my flight. Hope you guys are a little bit more ahead of the game than me. Sleigh bells ring.
So there you go. And she launches into a whole song. She's sitting at the piano. I mean, some of these stars really get into it.
It's so incredible because while you can give them that script, what we always encourage the talent to do is to take that and turn that into their own piece of content. So, you know, at the highest level, what I actually think Cameo is, it's an opportunity for a fan to co-produce a piece of content with their favorite athlete, actor, celebrity. And that's a really, really cool, personalized and authentic, you know, fan experience in 2019.
Now, there's things you can't ask them to do, but they will. I mean, obviously, they don't want to swear, they don't want to, you know, say certain words, whatever. But you can get very personal, right? You can say, thank you for doing X for me, you know, whatever, being really into something that happened.
And they get, a lot of times, they get very, very heartfelt. There's one in particular that I remember the first year we started. And this rock star named Ben Bruce, who is a lead singer of a band called Asking Alexandria, got booked by this guy. And he goes, hey, my girlfriend's been really depressed. Her brother had a heroin overdose last year, and your music's the only thing that's getting her through this tough time. You know, please, like, speak to her and tell her to, you know, keep hanging on. And this, you know, this rock star, like, is addressing this head on. You know, that is, like, was impossible to do pre-Cameo. And, you know, that video, I think, went on for like 10 minutes, and he was singing, you know, the favorite song of the girlfriend, and it just brought tears to our team's eyes.
Oh, I'm getting chills now.
But again, that's what's so magical about the platform is, like, pre-Cameo, that was literally impossible.
It's so true. Wow. So that is just wonderful to hear that kind of connection is being made. Back with more of Stephen Galanis, Cameo.com. He's an amazing success story in the tech community and just the business community of Chicago, but he also offers a product that might come in handy around the holidays. We're back with more in a moment. Back here live in the Skyline Studios with Stephen Galanis, the founder, the CEO of Cameo, Cameo.com, a huge success story in the business community here in Chicago, but also just a really fun product and a great gift around the holidays. We were talking about how these are celebrity shout-outs, influencers, YouTube stars, sports stars, all kinds of people who you can give a personalized message to someone you know, someone you love. And, you know, someone you want to know better, I guess, because here's a one. 224, Stephen, can you have a celebrity break up with someone for you? Have you had some weird requests like that?
Actually, we went viral worldwide 2 weeks ago because some woman booked Mark McGrath, the lead singer of Sugar Ray, to break up with her long-distance boyfriend. So this happened. If you Google Cameo Mark McGrath, you can read all the articles and watch the video. But, you know, this got viewed hundreds of millions of times.
You were also mentioned by Ellen, I remember, not all that long ago, because her producer got into doing cameos, and often she would make a cameo in the cameo of, you know, she would appear when people would order that. And she mentioned you on the air, and I remember things blew up for you at that time also.
Yeah, that was a big moment, and Average Andy is on Cameo, and all of his proceeds go to the Ellen Foundation.
Oh, we should mention, by the end of this segment, Stephen's going, he just called his people, because he's a big shot, and he's got people, and so he's going to get WGN listeners a promo code to use if you want to order a Cameo. Some of them are as low as $5, and then they go up to what I can see is like $1,000 for a Kevin O'Leary, the Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank. He's $1,000. but it's everywhere in between. And there are some deals here. Some are like $50 or $35 for sports stars that I know people in my family love. Dick Butkus, oh my gosh, he's on it. Like we said, you've got the Dennis Rodman, Roquan Smith, current players are also on it. Matt Forte, former Bear, of course. And you've got just a number of them. You can get your in-sinkers like Joey Fatone and Lance Bass, Stormy Daniels. Ooh, you got her on there too. All kinds of people. It's just, it's interesting. What have you been surprised by as you see things unfold? I know your list is growing to thousands. You have 15,000 or so celebrities now?
There's about 20,000 on
20,000.
So it's been huge. I think one of the really interesting things that we've seen at scale is how suddenly things like search and discovery and even educating our customers on who would be the best people for particular use cases.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to come up to me and tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, I need to, you know, find somebody really funny to like roast my husband, I would know like exactly who that is. And our team has really been able to identify like who are the best people if you need motivation or if you need to break up with someone or if you need to offer someone a job. Like there's so many different use cases.
Okay, I want to roast my husband. Who am I getting?
Michael Rappaport.
I knew that. I knew you'd say that because he's featured on your site. Michael, it's so good.
Michael Rappaport is the best. If you need motivation, you know, go to CT Fletcher. If you need somebody to sing you happy birthday, Sean Kingston, probably the best one that we've got.
Okay.
Just for like the singing cameos. So I think the big challenge for us next year is going to be to not just sort by categories, but actually sort by like use cases. So just like when you go to Hallmark and you go to pick out like a mm-hmm. greeting card, there's like the humor ones, there's the ones for dad, there's the ones for your aunt, there's the grandma card. And I think next year it's going to be all about merchandising our site better and making it really, really easy for our visitors to cameo.com to understand like who's the perfect person to book for the person that I want to get it for.
630, hey, what, no Dave Grohl on Cameo?
Not yet, but we're working on it.
You're probably working on a number of them, and as they see more and more celebrities come forward, they're like, you know what, I got to be on that too.
Look, we think there's 5 million people in the world that could be on Cameo today. We have 20,000, so we have one-third of 1% of the total addressable market. This time last year, we had 3,000. We had 300 this time 2 years ago. So I think we're making really good progress. But, you know, it's funny. I'm Greek, as you are, and my mm-hmm. mom will bug me and ask why the Greek singers aren't on Cameo. But you think about the opportunity here in Bollywood with the K-pop people in Korea, telenovela stars in Latin American
yes.
market, European
Huge.
Soccer players. This is a global marketplace, and that's why we're already seeing 30% of our business coming from abroad, because our talent have followers all over the place. So, you know, you might be a big NBA player, but like you have fans in China, you have fans in Argentina, you have fans in Europe. And that's what's so cool. Like by eliminating distance as a variable, you know, we're able to bring these fan connections closer than ever, no matter where people are in the world.
It's just interesting to see who's on it. And I also saw that some of the celebrities that you have do it for charity. So if you pay X amount of dollars for a certain celebrity, that they have a charity of their choice that they list below their name, and whatever you contribute would go to that. So it seems like even some of the larger stars have been doing this, Stephen.
And we just wrapped up on the 15th a really cool initiative with Red, Bono's foundation, where we had over 600 of our talent opt in to donate all of their proceeds to charity, to his foundation. And across the site, there's actually a whole category of people that just do it for charity. So we're really excited about that. Right now, Sophia Bush, Chicago PD and Wintry mm-hmm. Hill fame, for the next, I think, 24 hours is on the site, raising money for her foundation. Sarah Jessica Parker earlier this year raised $50,000 for the New York City Ballet in one day. So this is all, you know, this is becoming a new way for celebrities to raise money for their favorite charities.
But then you have that piece of it. Then you also have the other piece of it where some of these stars are, I like the Real Housewife types, or are making actually more money through Cameo than they are through their trade or whatever they do as part of their, if they're an athlete or a star or an actor or whatever they do, or YouTuber, I suppose. they make more money on Cameo.
They certainly make more money per minute on Cameo doing anything else in the world that they do. For example, just to understand the economics of the business, if you're an NBA player making max salary of $25 million a year,
yeah.
If you take $25 million, divide by 2,000 hours in a work year, 50 40-hour weeks, divide mm-hmm. by 60, mm-hmm. you make $208 per minute.
So if you're charging, did that math.
If you're charging $150 a video, you actually, and you could do two per minute on Cameo, you can make more money with us than you are as a max salary player in the NBA. I think the other thing that's really interesting, as there are more famous people than ever before, the gap between fame and the ability to monetize has never been wider. So in the YouTube world, the top 3% of creators make 97% of all the income on the platform. In music, the top 1% of musicians make 66% of all the touring, streaming, and merch revenue that comes from the music industry. So people, just because they're famous or you hear them on the radio or you're watching them on TV, it doesn't mean that they're making as much money as you think.
So I can hear the sales pitch already. So, you know, you're making $25 million, but did you know, when you do all those numbers and you break it down, you say, but per minute, you got to be on our site. And that's why you have these great people on your site, because they're like, hey, this is a connection to my fans in a very personal way.
And the truth is, look, a lot of people have asked us, well, isn't it bad for the talent to be charging their fans? Like, shouldn't they do this for free? The truth is, they could do it for free on Instagram or on Twitter or on Facebook, but they get so many messages that they can't yes. possibly reach everybody. So the way you should think about pricing is not what the star thinks their time is worth. It's actually kind of like what their fans can actually afford. And it enables them to find an equilibrium where they can actually, you know, get all the videos done. So think of it as like the line pass at Great America.
Okay. That makes it better. 912, Cheryl Ladd, 150, sold. How do you give the celebrities pick their own price, or is there do you have numbers for that too and spreadsheets for that?
They set their own price at this point with 20,000 different people constantly moving their prices around. We're becoming like a real estate business. So if you own a two-bedroom, two-bath condo in River North and you think you should be getting $4,000 a month, but the one next door is updated and newer and nicer and they're renting it for $3,200 a month, like, you're going to bring your price down to $32 because that's where the comps are. It's very similar. What we hear anecdotally are people go on to Cameo.com and they look at talent and they buy people that they think are a relatively good value. So you mentioned Urlacher being $540, and Lance Briggs being $55.
Right.
You know, unless you're a diehard Brian Urlacher fan, like, Lance Briggs seems to be a really good deal.
Really good deal. Sure. I mean, then you look at that. That's a great personalized holiday gift that you're sure, like, I know a lot of people who would love that. Bernie or Barack? How come no politicians on the site, Stephen?
We're working on politicians actively. There are some federal election committee guidelines that we have to follow as far as compliance and making sure the Russians aren't, you know, buying our politicians and putting words in their mouth.
Okay.
But we've done a lot of the legwork. We've had expressed interest from multiple of the Democratic candidates running for president to be on before the primary is over. So in 2020, expect to see Cameo be part of the election process.
So it will be. That's exciting.
We hope so, right?
I mean,
of course, it also depends on, you know, other things that are happening. But we've laid the foundation now, and there's a lot of political people on Cameo, so you can book like the Mooch,
the pundits,
Omarosa,
okay.
and a lot of the pundits, which is a lot of fun.
And I should mention, you have an exclusive deal with the original Santa Claus, the guy from the North Pole who does gifts for kids or messages for kids.
Yes,
right, and that's a pretty cool thing.
Santa's awesome. He visited us from the North Pole on Thursday.
He's busy these days. He came to see you on Thursday. That shows what a big shot you are, Stephen.
He made a cameo at Cameo, and he's back in his workshop chugging away at, you know, making sure that all the Cameo requests are fulfilled by Christmas. But it's an amazing gift for any kids or...
How much is that one? Because we're short on time here. I want to let people know how much if they want.
I think Santa's like $20, but
I'm
not 100%.
Okay, well, check that out. That seems like a deal. Even under $40 would be, I think, a good deal. Kids might appreciate that. And do we have the promo code, or should I give it to people later? I know you're working on that.
Yeah, there will be a promo code, WGN, for 10% off. It should be...
It may not be up and running right now, yeah, but it should be live.
Give us an hour, but trust me, you're going to want to take that hour to browse the site and make sure you find the perfect person. But by the top of next hour, we should probably have it ready for you.
Awesome. Stephen Galanis, cameo.com. Thanks for sharing your business story, and thanks for sharing all of what you do with us here at WGN.
Thanks for having me.
Live here in the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantes. We were talking with Cameo CEO Stephen Galanis in the last half hour. He was talking about how cameos can make a good Christmas gift, holiday gift, and he said that the promo code WGN is live now. WGN, 10% discount if you'd like to go on the site and do that. It is live. He wasn't sure if it would be later today, but now it is live. He just texted us and let us know that. So you've got that. It's Tech Tuesday, and we are going to talk to a cybersecurity expert. Did you see this? The videos released showing hackers getting into people's Ring security cameras. One in particular, there are several of these. It seems to be a string of incidents all across the country lately. We've got with us here Rich Wostocki. He's a cyber and sex crimes retired Naperville detective, currently runs a cybersecurity company, BeSureConsulting.com. And Rich, thanks for joining us. I know you're at a conference for cybersecurity right now and have a lot to talk about. But you stand by for a second, because I want to play a little bit of video and hear the audio in case people have not actually seen this one in particular involving a hacker getting into the Ring security camera inside a little girl's bedroom. She's 8 years old. And here's what transpires.
Who is that? I'm your best friend. I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus. Don't you want to be my best friend?
So he goes on to say you can mess up your room. He has a full conversation with his 8-year-old. We presume he can see her and talk to her. Rich, when you see something like this, I suppose it probably doesn't surprise you as much as it surprises someone like me.
Right. Right. Thank you, Anna, for having me. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
It's been a little while, right?
Yeah.
First off, this has nothing to do with Ring. So Ring is a fantastic company for surveillance and things like that. What it has to do with are people who install these remote video cameras give really, really bad passwords. So what happens is that when these hackers get these passwords, and how do they get them? Hmm. Well, there's something called doxing that happens on the dark net. So in the dark net, what happens is someone doesn't like you. They can grab your name, your email, your social security number, your screen name, and they can data mine your passwords, and they fish you. They call it phishing. So when you open up something and you're fooled into giving your password, they'll take all that information and they'll put it in the dark net, and you get doxed. So that leaves it wide open for people to use your screen names and your passwords that you've been doxed with, and run them against all kinds of applications to try to get in and take it over, whether it's financial. In this case, it's a Ring camera, and they log in, and when they pop it, they can have access to all your security in your house and everything that's happened in your house.
So if you use password 1, 2, which would be a terrible password to use, but let's say you use that on anything, then suddenly somebody gets a hold of that and they start running it against everything that could be in your home, and often can break through. So that is that what, have they traced these incidents? Because there's more than this one. This 8-year-old one is the one that's gone viral because it's so disturbing to see this creepy dude talking to an 8-year-old in her bedroom. Nothing more kind of creepy or chilling than that to a parent, but it seems as if that happened there.
That's exactly what happens. So a lot of times what happens when people have bad passwords, and there's something called brute force, and what they do is they pound a bunch of passwords against a system, and when one breaks, they get into the system, and they brute force attack it. So the problem is that when people have these types of things, and when they're doing from the dark net, it anonymizes their IP, so we can't trace it. So when we look at the IPs and we run them for a criminal investigation, it's going to say France, Brazil, Germany, Russia, and we can't trace it because it went through the darknet.
Well, let's go the other way. But can you, because we're running tight on time here, but I do want to get some good information out to people. Can people run a search on what information of theirs is available on the dark web? I've seen advertisements for that. I've never done it. Is that something you could
do? Yes, absolutely. So there's something, you just download a Mozilla Tor browser. Tor stands for the Onion Router. And when you download the Tor browser, you go into something called Skidpaste, and then you can run, it's Skidpaste, and you go in and search in there, and you can see if your information is out there. You can actually search your information in regular Google and Bing and to see if there's any relation back to the darknet online.
Okay. And some of that I understood, some of it I didn't, but if we go to besureconsulting.com, would we be able to find out a little more about this? Not everybody's tech savvy like you.
Now that I'm retired, what I do is I travel all over the country. I'm in Oregon right now teaching a bunch of kids and faculty and law enforcement. And so I teach them how to make good passwords, of course. But for parents, if you miss my training opportunity, we just released a fantastic website called cyberparenting-101.com. That's cyberparenting-101.com. And parents can actually get trained on how to protect themselves and their kids and their family right from their own device. They watch my 2.5 hours of video, and they're cut up into 15-minute shorts with a little quiz, and there's a test at the end. And so once you've finished all the videos, you are a cyber safe parent.
Woo!
And it's a really fantastic way because I can't be everywhere all the time.
No.
So,
And there's so much to learn.
Put everything down a video.
There's so much to learn, and we're always behind our kids is the other thing you learn pretty quickly.
Yes.
All right, cyberparenting-101.com. Rich Wysocki runs BeSureConsulting.com. Mm-hmm. He's a retired Naperville detective, and I know you're at your conference, so thank you. Thanks for weighing in on this. I saw this, and I immediately thought of you. I'm like, you'll know what's going on here, so thank you, Rich.
Yes, call me anytime, Anna.
Appreciate
it. Call me anytime.
Enjoy your week on the West Coast. We have much more coming up here on WGN. It's Tech Tuesday, and our guests, Ryan Deutsch, Scott Catoon, CEO of Technori, and the chief brand advocate of Persado, both here coming up. Back here live in the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantis. It's Tech Tuesday, and so here in studio we have Scott Catoon, the CEO of Technori. You hear him, the Startup Showcase, Saturdays 12 to 1, right here on WGN. Also with us, Ryan Deutsch, he's the chief brand advocate for Persado, a successful local Chicago company that deals with artificial intelligence. And before I get started, I just want to ask you guys, hey, okay, we just had the former detective on weighing in on the people who are getting into the Ring cameras. You folks are never fazed by this, never surprised by it, because basically anything that's wired in your house could potentially be hacked, right? Ryan, let's start with you. You're a smart guy.
Yeah. So I think that's a general reality of the world we live in today. And it's interesting because I'm, as well as my kids, really a member of the generation that isn't worried about being hacked. And it's remarkable that we just don't care, or that we don't wake up every day and we're not terrified about what's going on with all of our information. So I think it's something that we need to worry about. But at the end of the day, I also think there's some amazing tools to protect us. I would tell everyone in this room and listening right now, if you're not a member of LifeLock, go do it. It's unreal how fast companies like LifeLock or Capital One notice when things happen with your information or identity online and alert you so you can immediately take action. So,
Because that's where they think this whole thing started, that the passwords were kind of traded on some of those sites.
Yeah, I think the identification on the dark web happens. That becomes dangerous to you as an individual when it translates to credit applications, when it translates to other identity theft type of activities, which, again, I think there are monitoring tools that keep us safe. We just have to be responsible enough to go do them.
All right.
At the end of the day.
Scott, you have any thoughts on this before we get on to our other topics?
My only thing is, I think that this is like a big change in the world that we're in, this tech stuff where like everything is open to the internet and anyone can hack and jump in and see stuff. And like Congress, like the government has to start getting much more involved in understanding what's going on, because everyone,
great point.
I think it's going to set a new bar for like Amazons of the world. Like, you are now responsible far more, and I believe they own Ring, far more invasive. And the breach is not just anymore about you going into the office and like leaking stuff. Now it's like you brought this into my home. I didn't ask for this. Mm-hmm. You put Alexa in my home. You gave me vulnerability.
You said it was fine. Yeah.
You said it was fine. I trusted you and you knew that I was a consumer. Well, I didn't know.
And that's the point I have as a consumer. I'm not that tech savvy. I try to keep up, but I'm not. And when, you know, you have the Nest in your house, and we do, then you learn later that they were audio equipped. You didn't know that going in. So it's potential for that to be hacked. I guess maybe I should live like you, Ryan, and just assume that everything is just watching me in my own house, but I am not comfortable with that. And so I feel like there should be some sort of labels or something that tells the consumer, hey, here's how this is equipped. Here's, just so you know, this is what you can expect. And it is prone to hacking if you don't have a two-factor authentication, or you don't have a strong password or whatever. Give me some tips that go with it, because it kind of can get pretty scary. You saw this little 8-year-old video, right? I mean, think about it. There should be something like that.
You guys have a sign on the door when we come in here that says you're about to enter a studio that has cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to get to a point where we need to have those signs literally everywhere. We don't have signs because everyone just assumes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think we just, again, you just need to be aware.
Be aware.
And you need to understand how to protect yourself. What frustrates me is, I think, and I appreciate that you're nervous and you're scared, but we forget about all the benefits that come with the automation that the technology provides. I the other day, I moved the Alexa in our house, and my wife tracked me down. She says, "Where's the Alexa? How am I supposed to know when packages arrive at the front door if I can't see the yellow light?"
It's great for parenting, too, because the kids, they rely on them. The smart speakers tell them everything that they'd normally be asking you. It's like, hey, what's the weather going to be? What are we going to do? She gets her schedule down and her alarm set. And I mean, it's all, you know, it's helpful. Great segue, though, because you want to talk about artificial intelligence, and that is what your company, Persado, does. What is can you just give us a kind of an understanding? What is artificial intelligence? Why is it beneficial to our lives?
Yeah, I think the simplest way to describe it is just training computers to perform actions that generally require human intelligence. So things that typically only the mind could comprehend and deliver, we're training computers to take those actions. In Persado's world, it's the simple concept of writing copy. So we're essentially in the business of helping enterprises create content, words and phrases that resonate with audiences. And it's the holidays. I'm sure all of us are engaged with our favorite retail brands, both online and offline. And that's a great example of one of the places we play. We help those organizations and those retailers create the content that arrives in an email, that shows up on a website, that appears in a Facebook ad, in a much more engaging and, believe it or not, human way than even copywriters can create language. So, yeah, that's what we do. And it's a very interesting space to be a part of right now.
So many applications, right? It's not just copy, but we hear about artificial intelligence running so many things. The one thing that I always wonder about is that the job world of job searching, the artificial intelligence can sift through resumes and tell you based on, I don't know, keywords, analytics, I don't know, but it'll basically come up with a group of people who are the best candidates based on no human contact, but artificial intelligence determining that. Does that seem right? Is that working?
Yeah. So again, I'm not an HR, so I can't comment on whether or not that's the appropriate way to
recruit talent.
Right,
the end result works. Yeah.
But I think in general, it's a great example of a mundane task that's being transitioned to computers to just make more efficient and more effective. I think the important thing to understand with AI in any process, whether it's HR or whether it's creating copy, is that AI isn't replacing the human element of talent acquisition, right? So we're not letting computers, Ryan seems like a really smart guy. Let's bring him on and start him tomorrow. No, we might use the AI to filter down to Ryan or Jordan or Evan as candidates for a position, but the interview still happens. The human element of interaction still occurs. And I think that's how we should look at artificial intelligence, which is, how does it help us do our jobs better and more effectively? But I think the fear of it taking over is quite overblown.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. So what's the best tech innovation, putting on the spot, Scott Catoon, of the last decade? Best tech innovation.
Oh, man.
What's come in to our world now that we didn't have before, that we maybe even take for granted? I think the voice automation thing for me is a big one. The hands-free voice kind of command stuff, it really changes the life.
The voice component of it, I think, is obviously huge. I think when you get into like electric cars and just the changing of like how we're able to communicate and share our resources, I think is going to be like globally one of the largest impacts. The AI thing that you've started this conversation with needs to be put in the proper context and people understand it. It's not taking jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's making you better at your job. It's spending less time doing stuff you don't like doing that is the reason you don't like your job, that you're filling out reports that are unnecessary that can be filled out on your behalf based on performance behind the door and sent to the proper people. The AI of the future, the true artificial intelligence of the future, is when we start having people, whether it's military, making decisions faster, or it's us not doing mundane things we don't like, or it's us having more information at the ready faster to make better, more informed decisions in real time, is going to be able to create opportunities for more people to have more of an impact.
Yeah.
The more information at the ready is a really good example. If you look at what Persado does as it relates to creating marketing copy, the typical human knows about 40,000 words. That's what they know.
I know like seven.
Okay, well, I said typical. You know, you can't blame
most
you for being...
Most of them I can't say on this
we
show.
We can't blame you for being below average. I mean, that's
I have
that's
my finger on
us.
That button
my
when Scott is here.
Reminds me all the time.
I'm sure she does. Mine as well. So if the typical human knows 40,000 words, when we analyze the language used in marketing copy, usually we see only 400 to 600 of those words and phrases used. And that's just the pure outcome of us having bias as humans as the type of language we can use to communicate a message. So imagine you turn AI on to message creation, and it unlocks access to the full semantic space of language. It's like playing Scrabble. We play a lot of Scrabble at my house.
Multi-language.
In multi-language, yeah. The Persado platform runs in 23 different languages. Yeah. It's like that Microsoft Reindeer commercial that's running right now. It's
so quickly
cool.
Get to your Scrabble story, because then we got a break here because we're running up against the bottom of the hour here.
Scrabble story real fast. Imagine if you've ever cheated in Scrabble. Anyone ever cheated? I cheat.
No.
It's the only way I can beat my
only
son.
Only with my sisters when I was 10.
It's the only way I can beat my son. So you take those seven tiles and you plug them in to an interface in the computer, and it spits out.
All
these
the possibilities.
Are the best words that you can possibly make out of your seven tiles and the point totals that you'll get if you use them. AI applied to copy generation is exactly the same thing at a massive scale.
Well, that helps explain it. Ryan Deutsch, you really did help explain it for me. He's the chief brand advocate for Persado, a local company. And also, of course, we've got Scott Catoon, the CEO of Technori. You can check his show out too on WGN 12 to 1, the Startup Showcase, all things startups and much more. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for the time. Back with more here on WGN. Back here live on WGN from the Skyline Studio. And we have a familiar voice to you here in studio, Walk of Famer, 20-plus year veteran of this legendary radio station, Andrea Darlis. It's good to see you.
Hey, it's good to be here. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and Jasmine and everybody. Nice to be back walking these halls.
You seem so happy. And I know you have your new role at University of Illinois. You are the director of engagement, so you talk to the alums. Every time I talk to you, you're hanging out with the dean, or you got the governor, or you're doing some big shot thing affair. Is it fun? Are you having fun with it?
I am. It's a lot of fun, you know, kind of doing this new role in higher education and keeping up to date on everything U of I. But of course, since I'm based in Chicago, everything with all of our schools here in Chicago too, Northwestern and Northern, different campuses. U of I is partnering with University of Chicago with the DPI, as you know, in the South Loop that they're going to break construction on in 2020. It'll be like a mini campus, and I use that word very loosely, in the South Loop. So
what will that look like? What should we expect from that? Because it's a huge new development.
Oh, and it's so big that the developers want to call it the 78, which would be the 78th neighborhood in Chicago, right across from the Whole Foods above the train tracks on Roosevelt and Canal. It would take up Alderman Dowell's ward and Alderman Sergio Lopez's ward too. Mm-hmm. So you have two aldermen on this infrastructure. It's going to be a science and technology hub.
Wow.
So it'll be very cool. The governor's on board. Mayor Lightfoot's on board. So it'll be great for the city of Chicago. And as I said, it's a partnership with the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana and University of Chicago and the University of Tel Aviv, too.
And so I know one of the initiatives, one of the thoughts behind this whole thing is that we've had such incredible engineering tech talent just get their educations here. And the University of Illinois, in particular, the engineering program is known globally for its excellence and the people it's produced who are just huge success stories in the industry. And then a lot of them tend to leave and they go to the Silicon Valley. And you look at the founders of PayPal, YouTube, so many of these places. Larry Ellison went to UVA. You look at that and you think, well, we don't need that brain drain. We want to keep them here.
Absolutely. You hit the
and
nail
we want more.
On the head. Yeah, you absolutely hit the nail on the head. I mean, University of Chicago, University of Illinois, Northwestern, these are just world-renowned institutions. And let's keep them in Chicago. Let's keep these students here. Then when you graduate, let's keep the graduates here. And let's make Chicago boom.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a bigger business hub than it already is.
And that being right in the center of Chicago, I think could really help. It's very appealing.
I think
for,
so, too.
You know, millennials, people who want to go to college and want to pursue that type of a thing.
Yeah, and it's undeveloped land, too. So I think what you're going to see over the next 5 years is kind of like how our Riverwalk right here has been revitalized. You're going to see that starting in the South Loop, going through Chinatown, where this small campus kind of encompasses. You're going to see all kinds of new development, too,
mm-hmm.
and condos and restaurants and shops. It's going to be very, very cool. We're very excited
about
it.
You have this amazing web of professors and experts in just about every area that you could imagine at the University of Illinois, as you would expect. And you came equipped here with a couple of, you're making some news over there.
We are. There's some great stories. So I kind of did this as a little bit of a trivia contest. Just cool, interesting, fun stories for the holidays. This is most come out of the U of I. But again, now everything's a partnership, Anna. You know, it's a partnership with New York University or Northwestern or whatever it is. So there's a lot of great things coming out of the Midwest and specifically the state of Illinois when it comes to education. So one of my favorite stories that came out just last week, I did this kind of in the form of a trivia contest. So I'll pose this to you. I'll pose this to you and Jasmine. So what do
Jasmine, are you playing?
You ready for this, Jasmine?
Yes.
Okay, this will be fun. All right, so what do experts say is partially to blame for overspending at the holidays? What do experts say is partially to blame for overspending at the holidays? Yes, like what's the culprit? So here's, I'll give you a multiple choice.
Okay, thank you. I like that.
Your smartphone, Siri, Alexa, or nagging kids? I know you could probably say all of the above. Any guesses?
Jazz, what do you got?
Jazz, what do you think?
I don't know either. I'm confused.
How about the answer, your smartphone? Believe it or not, according to brand new research published at the U of I and New York University this week, mobile wallets like Apple Pay or Google will make the most shopper-friendly holiday season ever this year, Anna. There's no speed bumps to checking out except maybe a thumbprint.
Mm-hmm, so easy.
Yeah, this way consumers are not only spending more money, but they're making more frequent purchases. I mean, think how easy it is. You could be, you know, parked in your car and think, oh, you know what? Again, I say parked in your car. Lean over, thumbprint, boom. You bought it. I did that today, not in my car, but just something I needed purchased, and I'm going to get it tomorrow.
Well, we were just talking about artificial intelligence and how they know you now, right? It's just you make a purchase, you scan an item, you talk about an item, you email a friend about an item or text an item, and suddenly it starts appearing in your recommended buy list, and you start getting ads for that kind of thing, and it's hard to resist. You're like, hey, I was looking at those shoes,
I really was
going to buy that.
It's bizarre. You'll be shopping for something, and then you'll, say, pop up your Instagram or your Facebook or whatever it might be, and aside from mobile payment apps, merchants directly target consumers through these ads and other social media services. So yes, you are being targeted. It's not a coincidence. Here's another thing, too, that I just found out over the weekend. So say you and I are at an event and we're in, let's say, Winnetka.
Okay.
And we don't take any pictures or anything like that. We just kind of keep our phones, strangely. We keep our phones in our jackets, hang up the coat. The next day, you'll notice different ads either directly coming to your email or on your social media sites or friend requests from Joe Smith, who lives two blocks away from where your cell phone was. So it's a lot of Big Brother going
on
right now.
It is wild. Some of that stuff still freaks me out.
I know.
No, it shouldn't.
Too.
It shouldn't.
Me too.
Because maybe it's very helpful, too, because everything's very personalized and customized for you. You're not getting ads that you're not. I really don't get a lot of ads anymore that I'm totally not interested in.
I know.
It's really targeted.
And they keep showing up over and over again on different sites. I mean, you can pull up WGNRadio.com, and off on the right-hand side, you'll see, you were just looking for those shoes.
Yeah.
Those beautiful pumps that you wanted.
I'm actually looking at some comfy tennis shoes right now.
But, like, I don't know. They're a little expensive. So we got to wait till the price comes down. I'm just going to ignore it for now.
I know, right?
Then you have another... You have another one.
Okay,
for us, right?
I do. So I have a couple more stories for you. Let's stick with the holiday gift guide stories. This angle. All right. So scientists have known. No. Let's do this one. Okay. There's a woman. Now, if this name might sound familiar to you, Kim, not Gordon, Kim Vandenbroek. She was recently on the cover of Chicago Magazine. She was dubbed by Chicago Magazine as the Queen of Games. Suzanne Holman did a great interview with her.
Chicago Magazine.
So she's a U of I grad. She's patented 36 games, the most ever for Hasbro, and was born and raised right here in Chicago.
How about that?
So your question is, what is one of the games that Kim has created and patented? All right. Here are your choices.
Have I heard of these?
Yeah, I think you've definitely heard of two. Okay. Jasmine's probably heard of all because she's young and hip
she knows
and trendy.
All that stuff. I hope so. She's very hip.
So, Kim Vandenbroek, most patented gamer by Hasbro. Which of these is one of her games? Is it Peeing Pup?
Wait, what did you say?
Peeing Pup.
That's what I thought you said.
Yep.
Peeing.
Peeing. Scattergories.
Oh, I know that one.
Cover to Cover.
Okay.
The Build Up.
Okay.
Or this is a kid's game, Belly Button, Belly Button.
I think I've seen that one.
Okay. Any guesses? Which game?
Now, is it only one?
Oh.
Or is this multiple? Oh, did I get something there?
Uh-oh.
You rocked the boat a little there.
Jasmine, what do you got?
I want to say Scattergories, but I'm probably not right.
You are 100%
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
You're
categories?
Right.
That's huge.
Kim created all of those games, and everyone hit a milestone. How about that? I mean, female entrepreneur right here in Chicago. Scattergories, the one that Jasmine selected, that's the top grossing. It's the longest running game in Hasbro's history. Peeing Pup. Now, you laugh. You have to read this article. It's about a week old article.
Peeing Pup is the name of a game.
Peeing Pup.
And is it a puppy that pees?
It's a puppy that pees. Okay. It's a children's game. It is the best selling game in the company's history.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that?
Peeing Pup.
Cover to Cover was purchased after the very first pitch. You know, you have to normally go through different pitches and different meetings and on and on and on and the like. Cover to Cover was purchased after the very first pitch. Belly Button just got the gamer award for cutest origin. And the Build Up was
super cute game.
Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. And the Build Up was created as a competition with her husband.
Oh,
so there you go.
Beautiful.
So
Andrea Darlis is here. Can you stick around for trending topics?
We're going
to come up
can.
To that. Okay. Back with more here on WGN. Back here live in the Skyline Studios. Andrea Darlis is here. You know her. And Lauren Lapka has stepped into the studios. We're about to get to the trending topics section, things that are trending. But first, I need to tell you about this. Interested in purchasing a new home? Then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, not your bank, not an online lender, definitely not your realtor's preferred lender. Raul, a lifelong renter, called to purchase the home he'd been renting for over 4 years. Raul was severely credit challenged, as they say, which initially prohibited him from purchasing a home. Most lenders would have kicked Raul to the curb, not Team Hochberg. They helped Raul enhance his credit to purchase his first home with a FHA loan with a down payment of only 3.5%. Raul's now a proud homeowner, and the best part is he didn't have to move. If you're currently or once was credit challenged and would like to purchase a new home, call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender who will always look out for your financial best interest. Call now 1-855-855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of WGN listeners, but they can't help if you don't call. 855-56-DAVID. Visit 56david.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential, Mortgage Licensee, MB 676-1019, NMLS 1124061. All right, Steve Bertrand also stepping into the studio. You guys ready for the trending topics portion of the show? Mm-hmm.
Trend us.
You ready to trend? Ready to be trendy or see what's trending? All right, first thing is we've got a little song to play. Let's hear what we think about this. It is now 25 years later, again, at number one on the Billboard 100 chart. Mariah, love it or hate it, this is one that's played so much that I think people start to be like, yeah, okay. I can't handle this
I
one.
I love it every time I hear it for the first time of the season. Uh-huh. And then about the fifth time, I'm like, oh, God.
I'm a Love Actually freak.
Oh, it's
and
crazy.
This is in Love Actually, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
It is. The little girl sings it on stage at the Christmas concert at the end.
Exactly.
All right, I never thought I'd agree with Steve Bertrand. To this
my day is made.
100% every time I hear
the
it.
The holidays are bringing us together.
It.
Look at
oh,
it.
Yeah.
What a good
I'm
Christmas
kidding.
Moment.
I agree with you often.
You're dressed like a Christmas tree today.
I tried to be holiday-ish. I've had my
bring your
pen.
Green leather and your red pen. Andrea is ready for Christmas. And that puts you in the Christmas mood a little bit. All right, speaking of Christmas, have ugly Christmas sweaters finally gone too far? Have you seen any that have gone too far? Because I have. It feels like people trying to outdo themselves a little bit. Mm-hmm. How about this one? There is one sweater out there, very popular, that shows Santa writing Merry Christmas in cursive with urine on the snow.
Gross.
Pooping down a chimney.
What?
You've got the reindeer. Santa's reindeer, they're bad, too. They have their antlers. They and their antlers are on a sweater that reads horny. The elves are gathered around the North Pole throwing money at a stripper dancing on it. And then there's a cocaine-snorting Santa.
I saw that picture. What is going on? Yeah.
That's the one that got taken out of Walmart. Right?
That is so funny. And you know what's so funny? I looked at that sweater, and they said, I didn't know the story. I didn't look at the headline, and I thought, what's wrong with the picture? And then you look, it's like, oh, wait, those are lines of cocaine.
So wait, way back in the 80s or 90s, I had a T-shirt, and it was when Harry Met Jerry. So it was at the time of the movie When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
And it's Harry Great Carey movie. And Jerry Garcia.
Are
the two characters when Harry met Jerry.
Perfect.
I did not realize I wore this shirt everywhere. I wore this shirt to like official functions that Jerry was smoking a joint.
No.
So like they were sharing a joint on the T-shirt. So yeah, I totally get that.
That's too funny.
Yeah, I just feel like it used to be that you went and got the kitschy sweater at the thrift store or you went to like the discount store and you just kind of got a loud sweater or
Usually
something.
Just a simple pattern. Well, not simple pattern, but a pattern. Not really a character or a phrase or saying.
Do any of you own an ugly Christmas sweater?
I do, but I don't think it's ugly.
Okay.
It's a koala bear skiing down a hill.
Oh, sweet. Does it have yarn coming off it or sparkles or bedazzlers or anything?
Do I have to stay here for this?
Yes, you do, Steve. Yes, you do.
It's like just a woolly sweater, but it's so funny, but I think it's actually cute. It makes me laugh.
Guys wear these sweaters, I think, more than women do.
I think so.
Brian Noonan here at WGO wears his fancy pants, his Christmas pants, and his bright sweaters.
The guys wear the suits now, too.
Yeah, Pete McMurray has the candy cane
like the presents.
Yeah, it looks like wrapping paper.
It's kind of fun, I think, the whole thing, but I just think those probably go too far. All right, we got to get to Star Wars because Lauren's here, and she knows everything about Star Wars. This is the final installment of the first trilogy.
So this is the final installment of the recent upbringing of Star Wars. The J.J. Abrams who started them.
Come on.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to get that wrong. I shouldn't have even tried.
The first installment would be episode 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
And then the prequels would be 1, 2, 3. So now we're on 7, 8, 9.
And they had the marathon. TNT had a marathon this weekend.
I know, I was watching.
Catching up.
Yeah.
You've watched them how many times Lauren?
I can't even tell. I can't even guess. It's been... Dozens
About the only ones I can keep track of is the original trilogy because I grew up with that.
Yep.
And I thought this one involves the same characters, Chewbacca, the C-3PO, the R2-D2.
So if you think about it that way, then yes, it's the end of that whole thing. But then you would count all of them because you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Because isn't there a trailer where C-3PO goes, waves goodbye, and it's kind of sad? People think that character is going?
I think I'm more comfortable talking about the fluffy yarn
sweaters. Back to the sweaters, Steve. You know, what do you wear for Christmas? We have the cutest thing coming up, though. We want to go ahead, Andrea. Tell me.
No, I told Lauren that the generations are kind of meshing because I used to have, play with Star Wars, when I was a kid, and now it's back, and it never really went away. But I was telling Lauren she sympathized because my mom gave away my Millennium Falcon in a yard sale, garage sale,
which is insane.
And Lauren's like, no, I went, I know. Could have gone for a lot.
So much money, even if it was used.
I know.
We have some great audio here of kids asking the stars of the new Star Wars movie on the red carpet some questions that, frankly, are very difficult to answer.
Hey, Ray, can you really do a backflip? Or are you just a liar?
I'm a liar.
Do droids eat or go to the bathroom? Or they just pee in their pants?
Their pants.
And one of them asks, how old is Chewbacca? How do you answer that, Lauren?
That's
You're the Star
question.
Wars
there
person.
There is a Wikipedia. It might say on there.
Of course there is.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Is an Ewok a Wookiee?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
Gosh, so much to learn, Andrea. Gee.
I know.
What a, oh, gee. I can't believe she said that, Lauren. Actually, I don't know either. But the interesting thing, too, about this new Star Wars, and maybe this is just the reality of the times for any movie, it seems like all the spoilers are out there. And really out there, like hard to miss out there. I, in preparation for this today, I was like, okay, I got to kind of read up on this Rise of Skywalker movie. And I clicked on one, and right away, it started to get into the ending of the movie.
No!
I'm like, you don't do that.
No, that's a
big no-no. You don't do that.
Why do people have to ruin everything?
Just stop with that.
Is this really going to be the end, though? I mean, this is the end of the saga?
I mean, it's going to have to be the end for this initial story, right, with these characters, because everyone's getting old.
And dying.
Unless you try and bring back the new characters that were brought in, like Rey and Finn, but... You know, they're going to have all these side stories.
I've really never seen. I think I saw the first one, maybe.
You didn't see the very first one?
First two, maybe, with my son. But I never saw them in the theater, and it's just foreign language.
Really?
Well, get into Baby Yoda. That's the new thing. Everyone loves that. All right, we want to go back to this ad that I promised we would never go back to, but we need to go back to because there's a new development. Remember the Peloton ad?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Caused so much controversy. And we have that. And
Peloton, give it up for our first time ride.
All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am. 6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go race in Boston. 50 rides.
She just said my name. A year ago, I didn't realize how much
yeah, you remember it. Okay, so despite all the controversy about that, seems like it worked out well for the actress in that ad. Monica Ruiz was just offered a spot on The Bold and Beautiful, which she immediately accepted because of that ad and all the controversy. So life's looking good for her. Didn't the guy come out and say that he was worried? He's a teacher. And he was worried that everyone was thinking that
he was a bad guy.
Yeah. And he was afraid he's going to lose his teaching job.
Excuse me, it's an acting job. He's an actor,
right?
Didn't she do a gin commercial after the Peloton?
Mm-hmm.
So she was well on her way to Hollywood stardom.
She's doing amazingly
well. Maybe she started the rumor.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
It did seem like a strange rumor at the time. But some people thought I was right. Let's also talk about this. This is trending. Steve Bertram picked this one out particularly because you watch the Kardashians and the Jenners a lot.
What am I doing?
Another one of your topics.
Right.
Here it is. We've got them making fun of each other, which is why this is trending, I think, because they're making fun of their momager in this.
I have my Kylie, my $1 billion baby. Now, she will always be the dearest to my heart for a billion reasons.
I pretty much started this entire family. No one would be anywhere or anything without me.
All right, you get the idea. We're all making fun of mom.
Oh,
geez. Mom, who basically created a bunch of multimillionaires, didn't she? In that family.
You can call them that. That's one way to describe
that. Helps when you marry a lawyer that represents OJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got something going there. Okay, this is one Steve will appreciate. The Power 25. Crain Chicago Business puts out the list of Chicago's most powerful leaders. You've probably already seen this.
I was 26.
I was going to say, did you fall out of the top 25?
It's just like, who's 26? Because, yeah, J.B. Pritzker, number one.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Governor of Illinois. Lori Lightfoot at number two. And then Melody Hobson, speaking of Star Wars, married to George Lucas.
Yeah.
She is at number three because she's very involved civically as well as being a finance dynamo in her own right.
Hey, here's a question for 2020, speaking of Star Wars and Melody Hobson. Do you think that they'll revitalize that museum now?
I think they're going somewhere else, aren't they?
Yeah, it's in L.A. They're building
it
already.
Though?
Yeah.
100%.
Already put down the whatever they put down to get that going. It's already in the ground.
Yes, finally, the story that ended.
I got so excited when it almost came here. I was
home. Oh, wait, the phone's ringing. It's Friends of the Park.
All right. Steve's like, let's get out of this. So let's do that. Thank you guys for participating in the trending topics. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more. And the news is coming up with Steve Bertrand at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.